Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Bye, Robert. Have a good day. Love you.
Don't take any crap. Hey, Robert, I just read Loudoun County Public School System allows you to kick ass.
Oh, they brought it back?
Kick corporal punishment.
Rob's son is a substitute teacher.
He is.
Kick their ass.
Kick ass.
Mike, did you know the Ford Maverick was named after James Garner?
I'm about to kick your ass across the state line. There you go. Notice you got that Ford Maverick come driving into my driveway while I'm riding my horse. I even thought this morning, as I was so happy with the results, I sort of made up a poem about it.
No.
You know, this is the ode to Miralax, one of lifetime's wonderful hacks, in through the mouth and out through the cracks. How I love thee, Miralax.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You know, anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time knows that I have endorsed a lot of products on the show, and I have spoken about a lot of products on the show. And sometimes they are sponsors, and sometimes they're not. And on this particular day, I have to share with you something that is very, very important to me, something that has made my life better, and something that... I'd like to just give a shout out to the company about, and a product I have used really, really delivers. Yesterday I had made a comment about urgency, and
I remember.
The concept is, perhaps I should start at the beginning.
Yeah, a very good place to start.
In a land long ago, far, far away, there was a young boy who went to a gastroenterologist.
Now, this is funny because this could be any member of the staff, past or present.
Yes. Yeah, Rob would tell you that the history of the Don and Mike Show, followed by the Mike O'Mara Show, but primarily the history of the Don and Mike Show.
Yes.
Three of the principals, I'm talking about Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and then Buzz Burbank.
Yes.
All at one point or the other suffered some type of... gastrointestinal distress.
You went first.
I went first in my 20s, I believe.
Yeah.
I was in my 20s when it happened, right? Because you were, I mean, you actually remember that.
Well, the big flare-up actually that I remember would be 1992.
Okay.
Because it was like my first day with the show.
Okay.
And it was diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis. Buzz... had the same thing.
Stomach blew up. Mine was
ulcerative
different.
Colitis.
Right, which amazingly.
Please do not mention any details.
I won't.
You'll make me throw up.
I will say this: ulcerative colitis never heals itself, and yet.
So it's a lifelong.
And
issue.
Yet I'm fine now. How about that? Isn't that something?
I have to share.
Because
I'm a sharer. That's what
we
do on this show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really happy for you that you have managed to keep that genie in a bottle.
Well, there, you know,
probably
other
not
genies,
the best expression. You know.
Other genies have swarmed around my head since
then.
Yeah,
but you know what? You've been healthy in that regard, and that's a good thing. And
yeah, I
agree. You know, if you know, hey, if you have your health, you're a rich man. That's the way I look at it.
And if you love your job, you'll never work a
day
in your life.
Work a day in your life. Let me just play. I have a sound that goes along with that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, if you love your job, you'll never really work a day in your life. So anyway, getting back to the product. I go late in life to a gastroenterologist because I have had my problems throughout. So they started in the old show, and then they've just kind of, go a period of time, flare up, go a period of time, flare up. And the last time that I had a discussion about it, the new Dr. Cohen's office, and that is the name, that is the real name of my gastroenterologist, and I saw his assistant as everybody does with specialists, because specialists are
a little
there
too busy. Yeah,
they're there for the real important stuff.
Right, right.
Like if something has to be hacked audio or something has to be sewn up.
God forbid.
But the specialists have helpers. And that person said that for a long time, down there, the digestive system, they were talking about beware of things like seeds and nuts and that type of thing. When in fact, some studies, this is just, I'm going on about two and a half years ago when I got this info.
And the irony, Mike, the irony was after you finally got your diverticulitis under control.
Yes.
A big sponsor came on board at WJFK, and it was Planters.
And I'll get to that because that was one of the worst flares I've ever had.
Yeah.
Because it was about 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's about right.
Because I had to fly up to New England to attend my sister's birthday party, and I was in distress.
Well, it was almost like a trap because the radio station was not a big facility.
And
everywhere you turned would be a jar. There would be a jar of peanuts everywhere.
Free food was something we liked. It was late in the day. You start about 2:30, you get to the studio, you come in at 3 o'clock, start your show, and you're hungry. It's just natural. It's a hungry time of the day. Go check your local Chick-fil-A and check those drive-through lines at about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the air. They're chock-a-block. They're full of people.
They are.
Eating at that time of the day. Frankly, I think that that's a good time of the day to eat between 2 and 4 and then wrap it up for the rest of the day. I think you'll lose weight.
Many doctors will tell you that, yes.
However, the nuts and that, I don't believe, based on what this assistant told me, that the nuts were the problem as much as the keeping the plumbing moving is the problem. And she said studies have shown that the idea of getting bound up, I don't like the word, the medical term for getting bound up. I don't like the constellation word.
Okay.
I don't like it. For some reason, I just don't. I hate that word. It conjures evil thoughts to me. It really does.
I think when you talk about being bound, I think that's rather an old school class A way to refer to it.
I think it is.
Yeah,
and
I'm bound.
What's wrong with
I'm
being just
up.
The classiest
Have
show
Have you ever
online?
Been bound? Yeah. I mean, that's
it
like...
might as well, you know, anyway. So...
bound walks hand in hand with BM.
What I think is that you should try a product to make sure that when you're feeling like things are not moving, that's when you get a flare, and that's when you should be preemptive. And
sure.
So she recommended a product to unbind me and keep me moving. And I'm here to tell you that since that day in that office,
yes,
I have, on occasion, relied on that particular product. And once again, due to a variety of factors, when I am on the golf course outside in my day-to-day wonderful, delightful, lucky Florida lifestyle, I hydrate because I'm outside and it's 89, 90 degrees.
I am
constantly filling myself with water and I'm not sure whether they're advertising today, but my fabulous liquid IV, which is a hydration multiplier, and I'm doing that every day. So there's a lot of water. Now that I've been on the shelf and I haven't been doing it, I certainly have not been consuming the amount of water that I should be.
Yeah.
And I believe that has resulted in a problem. Flash forward to yesterday, and actually the night before yesterday, where I went for this product. The product, and I know there are people that are hanging on my every word.
Every syllable, Mike.
Right now. Uh-huh. The product that I use.
Yes.
And I don't endorse, but I am using it.
Right.
And they don't send me the free stuff.
Certainly
is not. Called Miralax. And I'm here to say that it over the counter, and it's just ducky. I think you can get it at your box store. I know that at one point I got a bulk purchase of it. You know?
How fast?
And I don't use it.
How fast does it act?
It depends.
That's an interesting word.
Well, those weren't necessary. But I have to say, in the case of yesterday, when I had discussed taking the product, not only the the night before, but the morning of the show.
You double
in my
coffee. Yeah,
I double dosed. And I am here to tell you that the urgency that I had warned everybody about took place immediately after the show.
I think that is both medical and psychological. How about that?
Right.
Because you would, you know, you're a pro, Mike. You wouldn't have to, you know, during a show, you could control that.
I even thought this morning, as I was so happy with the results, in my own mind, I think I sort of made up a poem about it.
No.
You know, this is the ode to Miralax, one of lifetime's wonderful hacks, in through the mouth and out through the cracks. How I love thee, Miralax.
Remember, they're not a paid endorser.
They're not.
No.
There are people that pay for this that
exactly.
do not get what. And Josh, Josh Schwoka, new executive producer and business manager
and
for the Mike O'Meara Show.
Yes. Good
if,
guy.
You know, if you ever want to reach out to somebody and just say, you know, send them this, because I will tell you, just a solid performer. Something
they're added to the list.
And like, you know what? In that arena, it's a competitive arena, and there are a lot of people that make those claims. And I'm here to tell you that this one, you know, I'm not sure what their slogan is. I'm not. Some of them say predictably overnight. I can't guarantee you that. I'm just
like
going to tell you it worked.
I think you said their slogan, which was a solid performer.
I came out of that, you know, bathroom after the show, and the look on my face was, you know, just the look of confidence, satisfaction.
I've seen it.
Ready to tackle my day.
Not just in you. I mean,
absolutely
have you ever,
delighted.
When I walk Linus, and he is successful, he comes in with the energy of a puppy.
Yeah, dogs tend to skip.
Yeah.
You know,
now,
and so
will you entertain a question about the product? Because I'm not.
Absolutely. 100%.
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Normally,
like a lot of them.
Is it a powder? Is it?
Yes.
How does it? Okay. Is it?
It's a powder, and you put a capful in a beverage you can drink.
Now, does it have a flavor, or is it flavorless?
No, it's flavorless. And,
okay.
And
because
colorless,
if you go
and it doesn't make it's not gritty or anything. It dissolves.
Okay.
Which I've always found fascinating that is the case. I don't know what the component is in it, but it is.
I do. It's psyllium husks.
I don't know if it's psyllium husks.
Because that's the working ingredient. You see, we grew up in a Metamucil household. And Metamucil is orange flavored, put into water,
I've tried
that. Consumed immediately.
I don't want to slam
more of
another
maintenance practice.
I don't want to slam another advertiser, but I'm going to tell you that I've in back in the day may have used that product. That's the orange flavored one,
yeah.
right?
And not, if you let it
fan.
Set, if you
not
let it set, it almost gels up.
Which
is not good. You
and once again, I don't know if you're right about the husks or whatever you're talking about. You don't know. You don't have the product.
Well,
I'm
if it's a powder, would you look in to see what the active ingredient in Miralax is, Oz, please? And see if it's psyllium husks. I know psyllium husks is all over Metamucil.
Now, and you don't have to put a picture of it up because we haven't gotten that far yet. If they want that, they're going to have to be like anybody else that you know. Let's be honest here. You know, we're feeding our families, for God's sake. We're doing the very best we can, you know?
Is it okay?
I don't want to hawk T-shirts every day. What?
Does it thicken your coffee?
No. No, it does not. There's no thickening at all. It dissolves is what
okay.
it does. And the only thing I would tell you about coffee, which, and you have a good memory on your part for remembering the coffee yesterday morning, that it actually dissolves in the coffee faster because of the heat
yeah,
of the coffee.
Yeah.
And I think the combination of things.
What if you were to
go? It's worked for me. Now that I'm a coffee drinker, it seems to have worked for me quite well.
What if you were to go something a little more organic? Have you ever done the Raisin Bran root?
No, I don't want to do. I've done everything. I've done everything because this has been an ongoing issue. This has been an ongoing. I have done everything.
You've not done anything that involves an apparatus, have you?
Yes. Oh, of course.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have.
I had no idea.
Carl and I together. We did. We did. At one point, we
did. I did not realize that.
You know, as a matter of fact, I won't go into detail with that because I think I've made people nauseous enough, but the fleet was in. And I'm not talking about the Navy.
But not,
so look, don't,
not
will you
anything
stop
with
asking
a,
these.
Not anything with a bag, though.
No, that's it. You mean like a colostomy bag?
No, no, no. No. Like a warm water enema that's gravity driven.
See, you had to go there. This is why we can't talk about bodily functions with you.
I tried.
You're not capable.
I did. We are live while people are eating breakfast and enjoying the show.
Thank you, Josh.
The active ingredient is not natural because it's a name I'll struggle to pronounce.
Okay, so it's a chemical, right? It's a chemical
polyethylene glycol.
Okay.
Delicious.
Well, God love it. Whoever's mining that, in third world countries.
Do you foresee little children out every day? So you can move your bowels?
I hope not. What's wrong with you today? What is wrong with
today?
You?
Today? Every day.
So anyway, I just wanted to say, man, oh man.
You have a spring in your step today.
I do. Not a spring, just feeling like the advice I got, and I don't remember. It's so long ago, I don't remember the lady's name that told me, but I haven't been back.
Laura Korn?
I haven't been. Huh?
Was it Laura Korn?
Laura Korn. That is Laura Korn, for historians of the show, was a sexpert who came on our show a million years ago, and that was really her name, and it kind of flows. You just can't stay out of the substances, the bodily
fluids. You're right.
You
and
can't.
I know what? I'd like to apologize.
I feel really, once in a while, I should be very, very grateful. By the way, I've been grateful today all morning. People, think of me as a bit of a monster, including my wife.
No, you can be prickly. That's all.
I think you've been. I don't like that word. Ass. Do you remember our email? I don't like that word. Thank you. God, you are a mallet head today. You really are. I don't have appreciation for you. This is what I wrote. All right.
Yeah.
This is to the place that charged me a lot of money to get my car repaired.
Right.
And just gave me a little update on a key that I need to take the wheels off that was not in the car. And it was recommended that I stop by the dealership.
To unlock your wheels. Yeah.
I think it's a it's a wheel lock. That's what it is. And I wrote this person back and said, by the way, your level of professionalism and communication made my experience a very positive one. When dealing with an expensive repair, that is certainly appreciated. That is why my wife will be using your shop soon and why I will recommend you guys going forward. Feel free to pass this text on to all who would be interested.
That's sensational. I said this morning at 7:10 or something like that.
That's great. I sent that along. So I'm feeling gratitude,
When you build a good relationship with a car dealership like that, that's almost as good as having a good doctor because you just need
not a dealership.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's an independent repair shop.
Okay, that you can eat.
I'd give them a plug too, but I'm not. I think I've handled the free plugs as much as I'm going to.
You have, yes.
And I still paid a lot of money to get it. But this gets me to the fact that getting that car. And I had a brake job. I had a full brake job on the front and the back. That means rotors, pads, everything.
That reminds me. Yesterday, you were able to deal with your urgency before you went to the repair shop.
Well, the repair shop took longer, so it was
okay. Because there was some concern you might have to deal with the urgency at the repair shop.
Yeah, I thought I might have to fly right off the show to the place and sit like in a waiting room, and I didn't have to do that. So I got the car back, and I wrote this down because you had something about a check engine light that you wanted to talk about on the show yesterday.
I do.
Is the brand new car feeling when you go to a repair shop?
Yeah.
Is it in your head? You know, I know some people who have said when you get your car washed, it feels like it drives better.
Yep.
But my feeling was, what did I have done? I practically got a new car back. They did the full brake job front and back. I got new coolant that was flushed. I got a new engine air filter and a new cabin air filter, and I got a new battery for the car. And I'm telling you, that car felt great. And now, as I wind down the lease of that automobile, I'm wondering, you have to weigh the value and what you've paid in your lease and all those little numbers. You got to run those numbers to determine whether it would be a good deal to purchase your car at the end of a lease. I know people that have done it, people that haven't done it. That car.
You're going to do it.
That car is running so smoothly right now, and I've developed such a
reliable relationship. How about the positive energy today on
Love
the
it.
Show, huh?
Yes.
I have developed such a positive relationship with that automobile now, and I have put my hard-earned money into that automobile now that I kind of would like to hold on to it. And you know that my tell in the past is I love, you know, getting a new car or a new used car. I love cars. I'm a car person. But the old consumer reports that I've been reading about my automobile, mm-hmm. I like reliability of transportation too. And you know what? It checks off all the boxes.
You can't put a price on it. It makes you feel so good. And I think this is a perfect time to have sunk this money into the car because you've been back and forth as to whether or not to keep it. I know you're going to keep it now.
You do.
I think you do. I think you have to. You love it.
Not
you've
if that invested lottery this ticket money. Comes through.
What's that?
If that lottery ticket comes through, you know.
You'll buy yourself a fleet. But if things no, but all things I don't, equal.
I've thought about living down here and the way people drive down here and everywhere now mm-hmm. that I like the idea of having an SUV because it's I think safer when you're higher above.
They are so hard to flip.
That's the way you do it.
You can, but it's very difficult.
You're in a low SUV. You're in a low.
A cross. When you I know what? That, it's really
it
more of a cross.
Lower, it, it
more of a crossover. Lower. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So,
however, it is really, if you do the research, the center of gravity on both the Forester, which is dead, and the Outback, which lives.
That's the Subaru, one you have now.
Yeah. The Subaru has a low enough center of gravity that to flip it, it requires something really remarkable. Sensational,
torque.
Really. Yes. And so
I had torque thanks to Miralax. That's for sure. Hey, I want to tell you.
Now, Mike, don't ruin it by being gross. People are eating breakfast.
All right. Thank you.
But I think if you love your car and I love my car right now, I've had cars I did not love at all. And when you have one you love, it's sad when it goes. I'm still sad we sold our Tahoe.
That Josh, are you a car guy? We learn about you every day. A little snippet and stuff like that. You can come on. I'd like to say hi.
There he is.
This is Josh Soroka. For those of you that don't know, he is our new executive producer for the show. Are you a car? Do cars matter to you? I know you love your sports. Cars matter to you?
No, I don't. I don't care. I don't get into cars.
You're not much. Into cars.
I've got a pickup truck. It works.
Okay.
Smart. What brand of pickup?
It's a Ford.
Okay. Ford. American guy like that. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You care to elaborate?
It's a Ford Maverick. It's a small pickup truck.
A small pickup, but it serves your purposes, right?
Yeah, and I'm like you. I feel like if I buy the new car, it just works better, and I just leave it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you just buy the car you want and just let it sit there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I drive it around, use it, but yes.
No.
Okay,
no,
so it's not like a Sylvester Stallone watch. You've actually used it. Correct.
Right.
What color is it?
It is. Now that's a debate because the label on the car says orange, but it's school bus yellow.
Oh, so okay.
I so they see it you winner. Seeing it.
Yeah.
And it came yellow.
That's a chick magnet right there.
So,
special. That's special. All right. Thank you, Josh.
Mike, did you know the Ford Maverick was named after James Garner?
I'm about to kick your ass across the state line. There you go. Notice you got that Ford Maverick come driving into my driveway while I'm riding my horse.
Why is it school bus yellow, Jim?
Well, it says orange on the sticker. Orange on the sticker, but it's yellow in the driveway. Anywho. So you had something about check engine light that you wanted to talk about.
Do you ever get the check engine light and just
Well, that's how I did the brake job because the brake light came. It was a brake indicator light that came on, and they had warned me.
Okay,
so I know
but
it wasn't
you got
a scam.
A brake
they had said
light.
Your rotors are looking like, you know, you've used the heck out of them for 35,000 miles. Yeah.
This perhaps is a little more old school. This is the generic check engine light that doesn't tell you anything specific.
I've seen that many times in my life, yes. I know
Have you ever ignored
about.
It?
Yeah, probably. Absolutely. At one time or another. Not ignored to the point of completely blowing it off, but I've certainly had it perhaps looked at and said, you don't have to worry about it, and moved on. But it's different now than it used to be. Cars
it
are
is,
so electronic now. So go ahead.
Doesn't I remember my grandfather had a station wagon in the 70s. It was his company car for his furniture store. And he had the check engine light on so often that he had a mechanic drill out that light. So he didn't
drill
have to look,
it out, like,
yeah,
physically
went through the dashboard and drilled through the thing that said check engine light. And I remember his mechanic was his name was Jim Will in Falls Church. He said, "Well, Billy, you're not going to be bothered by that anymore."
Oh, that's right. And he had the shop that had the advertisement billboard that said, "Where there's a will, there's a way." That's how I'd handle his advertising.
He wasn't big into marketing. Okay. In the poll, Mike, a recent poll about the check engine light, people admit that they ignore their check engine light for 4 months before addressing it on average. And 20% put it off even longer, between 6 and 18 months.
This color me responsible when it comes to this, because I freak out. I freak out now when I see the indicator light. I get it right in there. I really do. I deal with it. Even though knowing full well when I took this car in, I knew that I was going to get whacked.
Right.
I knew that I was going to get financially whacked by it.
Delaying it does make things worse. People in the auto industry say that 35% of the people have regretted putting car care off.
That's the people. Okay. Those people I wouldn't go to for that information, because that's how they get you. Of course they want to tell you what's going on. But I trust my mechanics at this joint where I go, where I sent them the nice email. But I can understand. Look, you don't know nowadays whether the check engine light could be
A fuse.
Your coolant level, your oil level might have a problem. You might be, it could
might
be severe, and it could be nothing. Right?
Might have left a child in the back seat. Any of these things are horrible. Now, it says if you ignore it, the problem can expand and become more expensive. Obviously, that's how they get you. There's emotional stress involved, and worst case scenario, a roadside emergency. Now, have you ever, bye, Robert, have a good day, love you. Have you ever had a roadside
emergency?
Bye,
Robert. Go tell those kids. Go straighten those kids out. Don't take any crap.
All right? Teach them functions.
Hey, Robert, I just read the Loudoun County Public School System allows you to kick ass.
Oh, they brought it back?
Kick corporal punishment. Rob's son is a substitute teacher.
He is.
Kick your ass. Corporal punishment. Oh, you didn't get the assignment done? Come here. Like that. Yeah. Muay Thai. Like that.
Okay.
Mike, right, go ahead. Yes.
What would you guess are the car repairs that stress people out the most, and therefore they delay them because they don't want to have to deal with them?
Stress them out the most? Well, I would imagine they would be directly proportional to the expense. You don't want to get it in there because you know it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. So you don't want to. I just had one done. I just had a massive brake job done.
Brake job is number two. Go ahead.
Let me guess. Brake job's number two. Number one. I'm not going to say oil change. I don't think it's an oil change.
It has nothing to do with oil. No.
Yeah, oil change is the most minor of all. Okay, so number one, if brake job is number one, then it's some sort of engine related.
Yes, exactly.
Engine overhaul.
It's just engine problems.
Which
is
could
number
be,
one.
You know, I mean, and the worst
it's
thing
a little
you do.
Vague,
I watch a lot of. I watch a lot of car shows, and what the hauling the engine. Is when you get into the
that's
massive
dollars.
Expense.
The other ones in order in number three, fuel system, four, the exhaust system, five, tires. Tires, when they go, that's a big deal, an expensive deal, and one that people put off.
Did I tell you I've also done that on this car? Did I mention that at the beginning? I replaced all four tires on the car too.
I know you might
think they see me coming, but no. You can look at a tire and know
that's physical.
That's it. I didn't replace all four. I did two, and then I did two.
I bet they gave you the standard thing that tire people say. And my dad got it a lot when he drove his.
The
Touareg
or whatever.
They do that, but they say, "I don't know, man. It's a heavy car. Goes through tires."
Look, tires are how many miles? What are the average tire? Is it
75?
Like
now you get 50, or do you can upgrade to a 75? I think.
No. I'm talking about the mileage, the average mileage before you really need to replace.
Yeah, well, that's. I mean, they grade the tires when you buy them on how many miles you should expect from them, and I think 50 is pretty standard.
50,000?
Yeah, I think. And then there's premiums that are even higher. Well, Mike, heavy car goes through tires. You know, man.
No, and, I mean, but you can look at it, Rob. My point is, you can look at a
It is 60,000 to 75,000 miles.
What the? Oh, I want to cuss so bad right now.
You're allowed. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What the? I mean, really? I had 34,000 miles on that car.
How many, Mike? But then. On Saturday nights, how often do you find yourself in a parking lot doing burnouts?
75. Boy, you know what? Color me the rube of rubes. Right?
No, no, but I saw it.
I burned up the tires. I did. I know the tires were... Wow.
And, wow. Mike, the last thing people stress about, and this is one that I hate because I've gone through this on cars before, air conditioning. Once the air conditioner goes, you might as well sell the car. I hate not having a great air conditioner.
Have you repaired an air conditioning system?
I have, and it's been
the
results.
Was it expensive?
It was expensive and dissatisfying.
In what way?
It wasn't as effective as it should have been.
So, like, when you got it repaired and you got it back, it still sucked?
Yeah, and they say, well, you know, what we need is to recharge it, and it's hard to get the rechargers, but I can get that Freon that you need, and it'll be good. And
did
it would
you take
be good.
It to a dealership or an aftermarket shop?
I took it to a guy that was struggling to keep his teeth in his head, is who I took it to. Well, you remember, Mike, the car.
A neighbor's house.
The car that you probably most associate me with was an undercover police car, an 89
Caprice Classic. I still remember the car that you used to like to drive around in. And
I loved it.
You bought the last one you had, you bought from like a police chief up in Maryland somewhere.
Auction. It was an auction car.
At auction, and he was so big and fat that you said the seat was bent back. The bench seat was actually bent back.
Not only that, I had to buy a new seat because it was bent back, and also we found that the floorboard where you bolted the seat to had torn.
It had ripped the sheet metal out of the floorboard because it was so strange. This must have been a massive man.
Well, we could probably find him because it was the chief's car from Montgomery County in the late 80s. And it had that beautiful, nondescript, dull gray color. It was a cop car. It was such a great car.
I mean, it was. Not in the day. Since the Caprice Classic, we have gone through the... Because I fancied myself being a squirrel.
Yeah.
We've gone from the Caprice Classic to the... Oh, wait, is it the Ford? What the hell is it?
It's not a town car, but it's the one with the Interceptor package.
Yes. Oh, God, why am I blanking on this?
I know the
they
Ford
had them all
mean.
The thing. I want to say the Ford Fairlane. It's not a Ford Fairlane. What was the police car between? Now you have the Dodge Challengers. No, the Dodge Chargers.
Chargers.
Are
Crown
in a
Vic,
lot of police
Mike.
Cars.
Thank you, Robert
Crown
Keller
Victoria.
In the chat room.
That's what it was. It was a Ford Crown Victoria. They had those. And I don't see any of them anymore.
No.
Have you seen any legitimate police cars that are Crown Vic? I think they're all gone now. The last ones I remember, Fairfax County in Northern Virginia used to drive around in them all the time.
And people around the world should know that Falls Church, Virginia, because of a cushy deal with a Volvo dealership, had police cars that were Volvos for years. That was always weird.
I didn't care for that.
I hated that. For some reason,
that was un-American to me. Yeah. I don't know. Call me a patriot.
Mike, do you love this country?
More than I bleed red, white, and blue.
See, there's nothing wrong with that. I have a
belt buckle from Groove Life, but I got the Old Glory belt buckle.
Mm-hmm.
I wear the American flag right above my, you know, Schwanstucker.
And sometimes that's all you wear.
That's just it. Just around the house.
Mike, thank you. You've made me think of this with cars. Have you seen on Netflix or at least an advertisement for the John Mulaney show, Everybody is in L.A.?
No, I have.
This is the biggest, wonderful, glorious train wreck you have ever seen. I can't recommend it enough. The reason I thought of it is that...
But you just said it was a train wreck.
But it's in a great way. In a great way, it's a train wreck.
Is it a stand-up special? Is it a sitcom?
No. It's a talk show. It is a 6-episode run live talk show. It's absolutely live.
He embraces the awkward. I know that. He doesn't care about being awkward.
He loves it. Cool. His announcer is Richard Kind. They use him marvelously. But he takes live calls. Every episode.
Richard Kind is the big guy, right?
The big guy with
the big mouth.
Mm-hmm. Every episode they address a topic that has to do with LA. So far their topics attacks have been coyotes, palm trees, and helicopters. And they bring on experts about them. That. And he takes live calls, which are, as you can imagine, they always are, a disaster. And he loves it. And he ends every live call with, "What kind of car do you drive?"
I love it. That's awesome.
But there are, you know, they've streamed three. There is a new one, I believe, tonight. But you can go back and watch the old ones. The most
recent
one.
By the way,
when
we're Facebook Living and YouTube Living every day, you've got a access. I don't, because I will lose my concentration. But I reserve the right to pop it on. Give me just a rando right now. Give me one rando that's happening.
Right now, Eric Ford writes, "My first car was an old cop car, a 1990 Crown Vic. Still had the spotlight on it and used it to pull over some of my friends."
That's the my dad, way back in the day, had a Ford. It was the same car that was used by the state police in the state of Connecticut, and he loved it.
Yeah.
He loved getting on the highway and not pulling people over, but he'd get behind people and watch them slow down, and nothing gave him
out of your way. And the old trick used to be look for square headlights. That's what the cop cars had in D.C. and Virginia. And those were the square headlights on the
Caprice. Sometimes a squirrel, you'll get a car where they have really, really done their level best to make it almost appear like a legitimate plainclothes police car.
Yeah.
And you have to like do a triple check. Usually it's the plates.
Yeah.
It's usually the plates that's how you
I
do
never
it.
Had the spotlight. But anyway, Mike, to put a button on this John Mulaney thing, last night's episode had Patton on it.
Oh, and Patton Oswalt.
He was like the last guest they brought out, and there were, I think, six people on the panel. And Patton just, pardon me, just leaned back and crossed his legs like Indian style. Oh, you can't say that. Crisscross applesauce on the sofa. And he says, "This show is a fever dream." And it was... It is something I haven't seen on TV in years, and I watch it with great relish.
Did it mirror the out of control episodes of The Tonight Show to a degree? Was it that kind of all over the place?
Sort of, but the thing is it never gets out of control like that. It's not like a paper throwing or anything like that.
It's just people saying crap all the time.
The panel last night had, let's see, it was helicopters. So Mulaney was the host. Marsha Clark was there.
Right.
I can't think of her name.
Marsha Clark, like
from the OJ trial.
For OJ?
Yeah, and she looks great, but they brought in because the helicopter was big part of that. Tur, is it? It used to be
Katie
Bob Tur. Yeah, no, her dad, who is now.
Oh, that was her father. Yeah,
the transgendered woman. I can't think of the name he uses or she uses now, but it's Tur. Did you know that Katie Tur's father was the actual person who found OJ for the chase?
I didn't know that.
Copter pilot.
Yeah, I know he's a very prominent helicopter TV guy.
Pretty much invented helicopter journalism. And then also on the panel, comedian Earthquake, Patton Oswalt, and there might have been one more person. And then Richard Kind is the announcer offstage just getting involved when he has to. And they have those, you know those robot things that deliver like DoorDash? He has one of those that goes around the studio, and at least once per show, he brings them and brings ginger ale to all the guests. I'm not doing a good job of selling it, but I insist you must watch it.
We got to take a break right
now. Yes, do. Let's
and,
do.
And check your engine light. Take it to the shop and find out.
And take it to the bank.
Basically, eat up three mortgage payments when you get there. Thank you very much. We will take a break. When we return, it's the roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a mailbag today also later on in the program. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, to do, whoa, whoa, do, whoa. Did you know 30% of Americans have tattoos and 40% of people under 35 have tattoos? Did you know that?
Yes.
If you have some killer ink, I just found out about an awesome new product, our new sponsor, Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. It was founded by two friends who love tattoos. Their hero product, the Tattoo Balm, revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink with clean and natural ingredients. And it's effective on both new and old tattoos and all skin types. Your daughter is tattooed.
Mike?
She's actually head to toe with sleeves and everything, right?
She's touring with a carnival this summer.
Very good.
But no, she actually just ordered more product. That's how much she loves it. It makes them look great, and she says it feels amazing and smells great. So it's part of her daily routine now to preserve her her ink. She loves it.
They've got all the products you need, from tattoo sunscreen, soothing gel, tattoo lotion, and more. Now is the time to try out Mad Rabbit. They've preserved over 3 million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use promo code TMOS25, you'll receive 25% off. Pay attention. That's a different code, 25% off, when you head to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use our promo code. Remember, that's TMOS25, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, look, I didn't know. Amazing. The Kraken has a tattoo now.
Let's start today with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yesterday, a story surfaced that he once had, I'm just the messenger, a worm in his head that ate part of his brain and then died. This comes from a deposition that Kennedy gave in 2012 during his divorce from his second wife, Mary Richardson Kennedy. He was probably trying to pay her as little as possible, so he listed some cognitive issues that had diminished his earning power. One of them was a brain worm.
When I got back, the brain and the worm were dead.
He doesn't sound like that. He sounds like...
Well, that's all I can do, Mike.
Whatever that thing he's got.
I was wondering, Mike, I know that you have a vast amount of technology at your disposal. Mm-hmm. Do you think we could speak to the worm?
Maybe sometime next week.
I would love that.
He said that in 2010, he was experiencing severe memory loss and mental fog. So he consulted with a top neurologist who suggested his problems were caused by, quote, a worm that got into his brain and ate he's telling this story. He said, a worm that got into my brain and ate a portion of it and died.
When he asked about it, Mike, he said the worm caused memory loss and memory loss.
Reached for comment. Kennedy's people wouldn't provide any proof, but they said he contracted the parasite during one of his environmental trips to Africa, South America, or Asia. You know, my brother-in-law did some work with him at one point.
Really? Before he was out of his mind?
Was not a fan. Was not
So he was crazy back crackpot.
Said this was a long time ago, according to Kennedy, and he is now in, quote, robust physical and mental health. RFK himself tweeted, I offer to eat 5 more brain worms and still beat President Trump and President Biden in a debate. I feel confident of the result, even with a 6-worm handicap. Ha ha!
Doesn't his Uncle Teddy have worms too? But mostly,
his Uncle Teddy is dead, Rob. No longer
had
on
worms from the tequila glasses. Always eat the worms.
Still an alcohol joke, even when you're dead. That's what Ted Kennedy gets. When I return, Mary Jo and the cat were gone. Moving right along, ticket prices for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, got out of hand. We talked about it on this show. A lot of American Swifties missed out because of the cost. And guess what they're doing? They're actually, we've said this before. I've talked about this before. They're flying to Europe to see her. Taylor kicks off that leg of the tour in Paris tonight. It's a hardworking young lady right there.
Yeah, she
likes
it.
Americans bought about 20% of the tickets for her 4 shows in Paris. At her next stop in Stockholm, Sweden, about 10,000 fans from the U.S. are expected. Why would they put themselves through all this? Because it's cheaper, or at least comparable, because Europe has tighter restrictions on ticket fees and resale prices. And when I say comparable, an Expedia spokesperson said, quote, I can either spend $1,500 to go see my favorite artist in Miami, or I can take that $1,500, I can buy a concert ticket, a round-trip plane ticket, and 3 nights in a hotel room. Makes sense to me, right?
In a weird way, it is a distant cousin to the people that fly to other countries for medical work.
Because similar?
Yeah.
You're going over there, and it's, it's in many cases cheaper, and at the very least, it's a push. It's a European vacation. Yeah. Combining a vacation with a concert experience is a growing trend that some are calling tourism, which I suppose that's fine.
Well, you know, but Carrie has Carrie has traveled to Los Angeles to see Duran Duran.
That's not out of the country, though.
I know, but it is still adding a lot of expense to the trip. So this is just taking that to the next level.
That's just her spending your money to go to L.A., and you're not getting any break on the concert ticket, so that's costing the Spiewak
household. Well, the break on the concert is that they didn't have a D.C. show on that leg of the tour, so she saw them at Hollywood Bowl. I was jealous. If I had a band that I loved like she loves and I could go somewhere else to see them, I think it would be great. This is just next level stuff.
But
and now, if you could go and see Taylor Swift and get a kidney transplant, I'm in.
There you go. Fantastic. Good luck. The Office spinoff series at Peacock. It'll have the same mockumentary format and will take place in the same universe. Now,
boo.
I'm going to give them a chance because I think the format lends itself, if it's another story, I would be okay with that because I think there are more stories to tell with that. Let me tell you the story.
Okay, go ahead.
Here is the official series description. The documentary crew that immortalized Dunder Mifflin's Scranton branch is in search of a new subject when they discover a dying historic Midwestern newspaper and the publisher trying to revive it with volunteer reporters. Only two actors have been announced. I hope I pronounced this correctly. Domhnall Gleeson from Peter Rabbit. Do you have any idea who that is?
No.
And another show he's on, About Time, or a movie. And Sabrina Impacciatore, I hope I pronounced that correctly, from The White Lotus. I don't
know.
Well,
I'm sure we would recognize her because we watched that, but I don't know who she is.
He was also Bill Weasley in the last two Harry Potter movies. God, can we get any more obscure? Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2. No word if any of the characters from The Office will make an appearance. It doesn't have a title or release date yet, but production starts in July. I don't mind a retread of this because it might work. You are not.
It is. They invented the people at The Office invented that sort of pseudo documentary thing for television, and they played it wonderfully. But I'm done with it now. I think they came full circle, and I don't think it's going to work. But trust me, they will bring in people from The Office as soon as the show starts to fail. Then they will cancel it. I don't know. I don't like the idea. Boo.
Here are four ways you shouldn't start your day, according to experts, when you wake up first thing in the morning.
Doing a podcast?
Don't wake up to an alarm. Nice gentle alarm.
Oh, I wake up to music that I've programmed into my phone.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Don't wake up to an alarm. It causes immediate anxiety. So try something more soothing. Studies have found waking up to the radio, music.
Yeah.
Much better. So
do you know what song I woke up to this morning?
No.
Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. That's a beautiful way to wake up.
Thank you for sharing.
You're
number
welcome.
Two, don't immediately try to problem solve. The groggy feeling is called sleep inertia and typically lasts 15 minutes to an hour. So let yourself ease into your day before you start trying to solve anything.
There is one problem you can try to solve first thing in the morning is why can't I feel my left hand?
That's you, and I hope that gets better for you.
Thank you, Mike.
There's another problem I solve. I was just talking about the product I used to solve that problem, and I usually solve that every morning. Number three, don't dive straight into emails. Reaching for your phone to read news is one thing, but you shouldn't be checking your inbox as soon as you wake up. I do not.
Again,
it's immediate stress, and you're not ready to problem solve just yet. Carla, totally different than me.
Yeah.
Carla's all on it. Like, as soon as she gets up, she's diving into her email. Number four, don't focus on what went wrong yesterday. Well, we had a little of that yesterday. We had a little of that. I got the old, you owe me an apology. That's always a great way to start the day, you know. It was bowling night. Had a few.
Mike, you were killer on the lanes yesterday, and you deserve it.
Try your best to start fresh. It's okay to look back and reflect at some point. We certainly did this morning.
I always do the same thing. I wake up, I say, wow, yesterday, another perfect day.
There it is. Congratulations on that. I wish I felt the same way. Now here are four good morning habits you might want to add. Focus on what you want. These are, okay, this is that pop psychology
crap. Is this like John Tesci a little bit?
Focus on what you want to achieve and make a list. It's a good way to organize your day and your thoughts. I'm John Tesh. Number two, start with some deep breathing. Okay. All right. Meditation is great, but even just stopping to take a few deep breaths can calm your mind and set you up for a good day.
Number three. Is deep breathing the same as being out of breath?
Walking to the bathroom.
Yes.
Number three, look at something that makes you smile. Well, when I wake my son up, that would fall into that
category.
There you
go. Mm-hmm.
Think about hanging something on your bedroom wall that sparks. Oh, F you. Sometimes these things bother me. Number four, get moving. It doesn't have to be a full workout, just some light stretching. Oh, blow me. Sorry. I don't care for that. I don't know why that made me mad, but it did. If you're 36, have we ever gotten Josh's age? Have we ever gotten what his
age? No, I think he's younger than us. He'd almost have to be.
Are you in your 30s or 40s, Josh?
I am 44.
44. Okay, that's good. I'm happy. If you are 36, hang on tight. You're in for a wild ride. A new poll found the average person starts feeling aches and pains at age 37. That's when your back starts barking and your knees start to buckle. Back pain wasn't actually people's top complaint. The top three spots where older Americans have pain right now are their legs, neck, shoulders, and of course, in my case, my heart.
Stop.
No, all those aches and pains are slowing us down. When we wake up sore, it takes an average of 7 extra minutes to get ready in the morning. 28% of Americans said they deal with some sort of chronic pain. 22% would give up social media to feel fewer aches and pains. God, I would.
Yeah, in a second.
100% that I would.
This is a throwback to yesterday because I had to load it into my iPad. You said that one of the problems with your back is that you're not supposed to lean over and twist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's one for you. Remember not to twist. Don't twist, Mike, even if you're singing Chubby Checker. I know it's a record you like.
Hey, Josh, I haven't asked you to comment on the principals on this show, but he's pretty wound up today, isn't he, Josh? Wouldn't you say he's a little wound up today?
He's a morning person.
He's a morning guy. Absolutely a morning guy, 100%. Thank you for sharing that, Rob.
Thank you, Mike. Don't twist.
Finally today, an Idaho man added an unusual Guinness World Records title to his tally by catching and wearing 5 T-shirts launched from a T-shirt cannon in 46.09 seconds. David Rush has broken more than 250 Guinness World Records. He said he nearly attempted the title on a couple of occasions in the past, but never made an official try due to scheduling and equipment problems. Scheduling?
I'm sorry.
He doesn't have enough time on his hands? Scheduling?
I was setting up dominoes to knock over. I couldn't make it out to the ball game.
Rush's friend Jake Smith operated the T-shirt cannon, fired off shirts for Rush to catch and put on. The duo ended up with a record-breaking time of 46.09 seconds. The title marks the 167th concurrently held record for Rush, who is aiming to overtake the world's top record breaker. His name is Silvio Saba, who currently holds 180 titles. Silvio Saba, when asked for comment, said, and you did the Italian voice, thank you, the rent stays the same as before. Thank you very much. You are wound up. Take a Xanax right now. We will take a break, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have something. I guarantee you. That's what we do on this show. We will have something for you, and you. Thank you very much for listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. This spring, get out there and enjoy the weather and recapture the magic of riding a bike with electric e-bikes. With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly. Electric has e-bikes that start at $799 with the XP Lite. You can save on gas, parking, and maintenance, and financing starts as low as $49 per month. Plus, data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often, meaning more exercise, exploration, and fresh air. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes. the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventures started at electricebikes.com and please mention the Mike O'Mara Show sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com, and we thank you. Yes, bowling was painful with the back last night.
People on Facebook will know you started sensationally.
Thank you. I did. I had a turkey, my first turkey, I think, ever since I've done the league bowling. And we didn't get a bowling trophy last night. I know I talked about finding out.
Will there be a trophy at all?
There will not. No, we got money. And it's so funny. The guy, well, this big guy, huge guy, mountain of a man that works the bowling alley. And I said, do we get a trophy? And he looks at me dead in the eye and he goes, yeah, here it is.
So
like saying, F you, newbie. Actually.
If you've won the league, how many more weeks are there? Or is it
the
an
lead, that was the payoff for the previous season. We have already begun the summer season, and that was the first night last night.
Oh, that is so cool. Is it the exact same roster of people for the summer season?
No, we have a new lady. What's her name? Renee.
Okay.
And, of course, I immediately said, don't walk away, Renee, which probably everybody says to her that knows music from the 60s. But
Mike.
The one guy's brother is not doing it because they're bowling with their family on Monday night, so he's not bowling twice a week. There we go. That's my bowling update. You have a survey about washing clothes that I'm dying to take because I'm curious about this and how many people do it, how many people don't do it. So I know we're a little short on time here. Lay that on me,
please. I'll go quickly here. This is from Reddit. You know, I love Reddit. I live at Reddit. It's so great. And they were asked...
You mean that or are you being sarcastic?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
In a new poll, people were asked if they wash newly bought clothes before wearing them. What do you think the percentage is? It's very close.
I'm a chronic golf shirt purchaser, but I like to get them cheap, and so I source them from different places online, sale racks, that type of stuff. If I get a brand new golf shirt, I will put it right on. I will pop that sucker on, and I will hit the links. I do not wash it prior.
51% of people do not wash clothes before wearing them. 49%.
I bet you do.
No, I love a garment that is fresh out of the package. I think it is great. It's, you know, it's going to be got a certain amount of starch, a little bit of pop to it. I never wash clothes unless, I don't know, when you buy like underwear, is it packaged or is it?
Yes.
That's okay.
I told you, I discussed on the show when I went to the weight loss, I had gone from the boxer to the boxer brief. And I will say this, that I buy cheap underwear, so I will purchase my my underwear quite often at the Mart of Wall. And since I have made the transition to the boxer brief, I have not been able to, this is the third try now, where I am returning underwear to the Mart of Wall because I have incorrectly purchased what I believed
they must
was
love
the
seeing
correct
you coming.
Underwear. I did not realize.
Here's the guy with the old underwear again.
I did not realize
yes.
that these boxer briefs come in this ridiculous variety, especially when you're using Loom of the Fruit.
Yeah.
When you use Loom of the Fruit, they have all different configurations, cuts, materials, waistband, and they all kind of look the same. And I just have to, I guess, pay more attention to the package.
I remember you going to Nordstrom Rack for underwear for some reason.
Back in the day when I used boxers, I would spend a lot of money on expensive boxer shorts. And, you know, I'm smaller now than I was when I was wearing those boxer shorts. So, wearing old shirts that are like, look, this shirt is two sizes too big for me right now.
I love that you return your underwear because I only buy used underwear.
From the thrift store.
From the thrift store. Now, Mike, here are some of the reasons people give, and I'm curious if you
okay. I'll understand if it was in the package like that, maybe you'd want to do, but I don't do that either.
Okay, one person said, yes, I wash clothes because I watched an episode of House. In House, an episode had a patient dying because their bootleg pants had a toxin in them. So an episode of a show from nearly 20 years ago has people washing their clothes before they wear it.
I get it, though, if you're thinking it might have some sort of chemical griblies on it,
yeah,
and you're a germaphobe in that way or a chemical phobe, that you might do that.
I like this. I don't wash it because your skin is an excellent barrier for any bad stuff on the garment.
Okay. But that makes sense, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's falling into that develop an immunity thing.
Yeah.
That's why you don't get vaccines, so I'm not a big believer.
I don't wash them, but I do let them air out for a few days before wearing it. I don't understand that.
No, I don't like that one either. I wear them right off the rack.
I wash them because they have chemicals on them for storage and excess dye that should be washed off. That makes sense to me.
Right.
Yes, I wash because new shirts are itchy if they haven't been washed. Yes, I wash if it's in direct contact with my skin. Otherwise, no. What sort of clothes aren't really in direct contact to your skin?
I wanted to add one thing that you probably don't have in here, and
yeah,
I have received garments online before and packages in general online, especially cardboard.
Yes.
And cardboard that comes from far, far away.
Yes.
That sometimes has a bit of a bouquet. Have you ever gotten a product?
Yes.
That's in cardboard? It's not necessarily clothing, really, but the cardboard will smell.
Smoke.
It'll smell like pee.
Oh,
right?
I've gotten pee. I've also gotten it smell like cigarette
like
smoke.
Like rodent pee or something that.
This guy probably has a good point. He says, I only pre-wash undergarments and bathing suits.
Yeah, well, if you're getting a bathing... that's kind of... The world of bathing suits is kind of nasty.
It is.
When you think about people trying on a bathing suit and not necessarily using underwear when they're trying it on.
And it's encouraged. I know it's... But the thing is the return is, if it's out of the store, I did watch a Dateline once, and they went to Victoria's Secret, and they marked clothes with a dot of oil on the tag, so it wouldn't be noticeable unless you tracked them. And people were really abusing the return policy for underwear. So be very careful, especially in a boutique where the underwear is like out.
Okay.
And, you know, so the stuff is being reused. They also say you got to be aware of how many people have handled it. And this is the one I like. Person says, no, I don't wash it because it's all downhill after the first wash. It's never the same.
It is.
Like a golf shirt or a PK polo. It's
Note
never
the collar
as great.
Here. This has been, this is by, from the Puma company
Puma.
Right here.
Yeah.
Can you see the logo? And it's been washed so many times because it's a great garment. It's held up really well.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's my little golf tip to you. Puma garments, not the world's most popular, but they hold up better than any golf shirt I've ever owned. And that is the truth. Ruth, there's another endorsement that I'm not getting compensated for. Write it down, Josh.
I'll cotton on to that, so to speak.
This is a moisture wicking synthetic.
Puma makes great underwear.
It's a synthetic polymer. Yeah.
Space age.
I know why you like Puma underwear, because they sell Puma underwear in the box store you go to all the time.
They do, but that doesn't mean that I have to like it. I do like it. I've purchased it twice.
All right, we're gonna
and
take
if you
a
need
break.
To find it, Mike, the Pumas are in the crevices.
In the crevices. Tommy Smothers, a wonderful bit from 1910. We will take a break. When we return, side hustles.
Okay.
I know that Carrie does them, Rob does them,
I do.
Carla does them, and I'm curious about all the side hustles, and I'm being inundated with them. We'll be right back after this, ladies and gentlemen. It's the return of the TMOS cocktail party.
Yes!
It's been 3.5 long years. Things have changed. So, how about some old-fashioned normalcy?
Love it.
It's the return of the TMOS cocktail party. We are going to join you this Saturday, May 11th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're all meeting up on YouTube. This is an additional free live streaming show for everybody, so please arrive thirsty. Mike, Rob, Oz, and a few surprise guests, plus new ways to get involved directly with the show, and introducing Mike's Birdie Juice. All right, I hesitate. Josh is hearing this for the first time. I hesitate now because of last night. But, yeah, I'll bring the Birdie Juice.
Okay, now, in addition
to
the Birdie Juice.
I want to be careful with it. Do you understand me, Rob? You should
understand
more than anybody.
God,
I want to be careful with the Birdie Juice.
Yeah. Is there going to be a base liquor, a base drink that you are enjoying?
I have no idea. And I don't know whether if I'm doing it. There probably will be. I just don't know what.
Okay.
You're catching me on the day after bowling, which is
I shouldn't. You know, I will. I'd like to announce.
Probably a bad time to ask me.
A quick double announcement. I think I will be going with Dr. Pepper and pickles because it has a cocktail feel to it, kind of like a redneck martini. And also, I've gotten numerous emails from people saying it's insensitive to do a cocktail party because I don't drink anymore.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Get outside of your head, folks. This is a great idea. It doesn't mean I can't have fun. Doesn't mean I can't hang with
people. I was next to a guy telling me how many days sober he was, and I had a Guinness in my hand, and I congratulated him. That's the way of the world. It works that way.
Yeah.
Some people do, some people don't, okay? There's no stigma around it. People that say that to you, do you think they're stigmatizing you in a way by doing that?
In a way,
by actually saying, be sensitive to Rob? Like as soon as you quit drinking, you can't go out into the world, into a restaurant where people are having a glass of wine? That's ridiculous, dummies.
Folks, I did 5 days in New Orleans. I can handle a cocktail party. And also, I don't expect the fact that I made a change in my life that people should change their lives. Live and let live. I do what I do. Have fun. I'm glad to be a part of the fun. That's
and Mr. and Mrs. Sensitive out there, it's not like we didn't have a discussion about it.
True.
We talked
That's
to Rob
true.
About that, and I think I mentioned it maybe once, maybe twice. Just go to our YouTube page, click on the live tab. Our listeners have been doing like virtual meet and greets for a very, very long time now.
Yes.
And turn on your notification bell. Turn it to on. The return of the TMOS cocktail party. It's about time, and we are looking forward to seeing you and talking to you, and we're going to do it Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. All right. I don't know why things pop into my world the way they do. I don't know what the algorithms are. I don't know how it
works.
They
tend to come in waves, don't they?
They do. The waves that I got for about a week and a half came because I was inundated with all kinds of feedback regarding our transition. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
And because of that, I lingered at places where I normally wouldn't linger, and then I stopped doing that, and now it's moved on to other things. Now, another thing I get an awful lot of is I get the slot machine, casino, that type of thing. And then recently, I popped on a couple of side hustle ideas because I thought it was interesting. And it fascinates me in the new world economy how many people, and I'm not just talking about OnlyFans or influencers, but how many people with online side hustles or AI are pulling in some moolah.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating that a lot of these are home-based. But they're not exclusively computer-based hustles. They can be anything. The one that's mentioned commonly is what your wife did at one point, dog walking, or maybe still does, right?
Dog walking, dog sitting. I would even classify Robert's substitute teaching for the next few weeks. That's a side hustle. Mm-hmm. He's not. Yep. That's not a career. He loves it, and the money is good, and you just go in, and it's a little short burst of effort, and it really does help the bottom line.
Have you ever pursued that rabbit hole and gone down to check out what things might be interesting to you that you could do? Because I think you would be ripe for it. You
know? I did. I would say my biggest side hustle was a couple years ago. I did a big eBay dive and went through and made. It required some hours of work and finding the stuff and listing it. But over a couple months, Carrie and I made a few grand. Just stuff that was around the house. And I think that is a good side hustle right there. Because, again, that's computer-oriented and left here. I've done some dog walking to help carry out. I don't
mind that.
That
doesn't count. That's her side hustle.
That is her side hustle.
You're piggybacking on her side hustle.
Well, no, what I'm doing is I'm taking care of a responsibility that she agreed to and could not fulfill.
Sound like you're happy about it.
Love it.
Okay.
I've never in my life. Oh, I love dogs. Yeah, but I've never in my life asked her to like say, hey, could you do the radio show for me tomorrow? I just can't make it on time.
Please, just pop in. love to have her anytime.
Yes.
Anytime you want to go.
As soon as school lets out, she'll be available to. And I believe she's planning a bop in on Saturday for the stream.
If you want to travel to Paris to go see Paul McCartney, Carrie can come in and sit in for you. Love to have her. You just pass that along
nice.
To her
okay.
for me.
Okay.
I don't know whether this counts as a side hustle, but the one that they popped into my box yesterday was this guy sitting on a bench and he's talking about, it appears to be a Richie Rich guy, and he's talking about his hustle that involved, he goes on a website and he finds out the used car that sells the best in the United States. And what the, you know, high mileage used cars that sell the fastest. And there's a website. He wouldn't give the website, but okay, you can find him anywhere. You just pop into a Google search, best selling used cars, best selling high mileage. You can find anything online. Mm-hmm. He goes in, finds out, lowballs an offer on a website to buy a car for like $1,000. The side hustle started as this: how I made hundreds of thousands of dollars with $1,000. And he goes, he buys this car at a discount, at a real discount. Then he cleans it up, sells it, makes like another grand. Then he with the profit he makes, he keeps upping the ante with the best-selling used cars that are more and more valuable, and he just does it over and over.
This is a large form of the guys that go online and say they started trading with a paperclip and eventually got themselves a house.
But it's a little easier to understand when you do that, when you've got a car. But it falls into the category of people that do these things.
Yeah.
Right now, the other thing popping into my feed are these people that are talking about borrowing. And how, if you've got, you know, equity and that type of thing, it's like, now why are you chuckling at
me?
I'm just laughing
because these are scams.
They're all hustles. Scams. People are probably getting you. They're scams. Yeah.
I don't know. They're all scams, dependent. Though. They're all dependent on finding someone stupider than you. They are.
I get it. I get it. But the side hustles themselves are.
Yeah.
Some of the ones I read about were virtual assistant, where you can be somebody's virtual assistant and you get paid whatever, or copywriting, where you can do some writing or editing.
Yes.
All this stuff, and what we have in the, you know, in the new economy is that's what people are doing. You are looking like you have the look on your face when we ask you to do another job.
No.
You are processing like, I will never do anything.
No, I actually have an idea for a side hustle, but I can't do it right now because it conflicts with one of our clients. I'll tell you about it off air. But it's something I have done in the past.
Okay, you are creating a hydration multiplier.
Exactly. And Mike, it's a powder. No, it's something I've done in the past and people love when I do it. And it's something I really enjoy. I just can't do it right now. And it's it is profitable because it's using a skill set that not many people have.
Well, you know, that's another thing. People create their own, and but you think the thing about the car is scammy whammy. He wasn't trying to hawk a service where I get educated by him or something like that. He was just telling us how he did it. That's all. He was just telling us how he did
it. That's part of the scam, I think.
You know, I'm a bit of a rube. I bought a whole house antenna one time and decided to plug it into my outlets. That's the way I do it.
Josh, what it does is it turns your entire house into an antenna.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
High def antenna.
It's no Miralax. That's
no,
for sure.
It's no Dave Dornbush and
Dave
his Jetstream oven.
And the food saver
Yay,
and the Jetstream oven.
Clothes.
I used the Jetstream oven for about 2.5 months.
Yes.
Till it broke. We have to take a
you
break.
Were baking your underwear in it.
Yes. I would bake it and then I'd be able to wear the underwear without the fear of getting a fatal disease. We will take a break and come back with the flip side right after this, everybody. Let's talk about our friends at Legacy Box. We love them. You know that. Mother's Day fast approaching. It's this Sunday, May 12th. A great gift for the whole family. Relive moments, all your special moments. There's one in particular that I love with my mom and my dad, where my dad got a movie camera from Aetna Life and Casualty, where he worked for 35 years, and he stole it. And he filmed parts of his honeymoon when he was smoking. And he filmed my mother when she was smoking.
All
and there
of it
are pictures
was tasteful,
of them smoking.
Right? It was
all
tasteful.
Tasteful smoking. And by the way, lovely. And you could tell by the smiles on my father that he was a smoker. Anyway, it reminded me a little bit of John Adams. I don't know why I am digressing. Great moments you can preserve, but it's fascinating to see mom and dad when they were young. It's great. Reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again. All sorts of good stuff with Legacy Box.
The best.
You'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. It's so easy. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media, whether it's VHS tapes, Super 8 films, the movies that I saw with my mom and dad,
yes,
photo negatives. They got you covered. Thanks to Legacy Box, all of our family's histories can live on with digital clarity and no degradation. One of my mom's favorite gifts ever was when I made a video of her 80th birthday. It was an 80th birthday video that I did with her where I just interviewed her about her life. It is something I cherish,
great,
and now I've got it forever thanks to Legacy Box. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/TMOS.
Julia.
Hello.
You know, with Robert being home from school the past few days, I've mentioned him a lot. I just need to say, to keep the books square and even, I love Julia very much, too, and you're going to love her in a few days when you see what she's done for the
this
show.
Oh, this is fun. We have a project that we're working on that has involved Rob's wonderful daughter, and we've used her skill set. She is a graphic designer. That's all I'm going to tell you about. It's going to be fun. It's a fun novelty that we have developed with Julia, and we hope you like it. It'll be exciting. I can't wait to tell you about it.
That said, do you remember a couple days ago we saw that idiot crushing his finger in the Tesla front trunk or frunk?
One of my favorite flip side videos that you've had, where he really didn't anticipate that it was going to come down on him.
It's
and
got a
really
safety
almost
feature.
Severed his finger.
Yeah, it's got a safety feature that's supposed to sense your fingers there and not crush
like you
your
would
finger.
Have on other cars, right?
Yeah.
That have the technology with windows and things like
but
that.
But don't put your finger in the trunk thing. That's the main thing here. Well, this is a different guy. This is a totally different guy checking the front trunk or frunk of his Tesla automobile. Obviously,
the pickup truck, right?
Yeah,
he's
going to have better luck than the first guy, right? Sure.
Let's see.
First, I'm going to test it out with this stick. This is exactly what I'm going to do with my finger. I'm going to put it right there, and hopefully my finger doesn't break like that. But let's find out. All right.
All right, so just to lay down the groundwork, he's already showed that it breaks a stick, but he's going to go further by putting his finger in there.
And it would seem to be a bad idea.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a great idea.
We're closing the Cybertruck. I'm going to put my finger flat right here and see what happens. Ready? 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 Okay. Oh my God.
Now, as much as that's legitimate pain, don't you feel like he was just sort of doing what the other guy did and just trying to get
Views?
Yeah,
but I feel that it's sort of, I think it's sort of independent of each other. You can see the dent right there. And if you go to the end of it, there is a significant bruise. So
the only way to up the ante in that is to, pull back the stump. That's all. That's all that will improve on that video now.
You want to see squirting blood like in Monty Python?
Absolutely, 100%.
It's only a flesh wound. Mike, good news. I don't know if Charlie is in your area right now, but Charlie listens to the show.
Yes,
Charlie Stewing Stablack. He's probably headed to this automobile auction. This is a car that has been around about in the news for a while. A guy modified a Mazda truck into a huge radio flyer wagon that goes 60 miles an hour.
I've seen it. I didn't know there was video of it.
Mike, it's for sale.
Okay.
What's happening, everyone? Dan Newman here with Alaska Premier Auctions and Appraisals. I am privileged to be here with Judy Foster of Wasilla, Alaska, the original owner of the big red radio flyer wagon. We're sending it off on its final victory lap before it goes to auction. Stay tuned for our spring collector car auction taking place in May, and we can't wait to see who the happy new bidder is going to be that takes this beauty home. Any last words, Granny?
Okay, Granny, let it go.
Go ahead, Granny.
There you go. All right.
Oh, a little horn on it, too. Here we go. Oh, looks like she put it in gear.
There it goes, all right. Mike. Do you think Charlie will be bidding?
Oh, my God, the humanity.
Oh,
the humanity,
no.
Granny.
Oh,
that's terrible.
That's going to leave
Didn't it look
a mark.
Like she shifted? Like,
yeah,
or,
I think it might be a manual.
Very good. I like that. I'll bid on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike, let's close with this. You love Bruno Mars. I know this.
I do.
And Bruno Mars is very talented, but his songs are different when they're sung by people that aren't Bruno Mars.
Okay.
And here's a lady doing a duet. She takes the verse and the duet comes in on the chorus. You'll have to notice when she starts playing guitar, there is a small, looks like maybe a Chihuahua mixed dog on the sofa beside her. And here she is doing Bruno Mars.
Give me all your love is all I ever ask for. What you don't understand is I would catch a grenade for ya. Throw my head on a blade for ya. I'd jump in front of a train for ya. You know I'd do anything for ya.
The thing that I love about it is that he waits until the chorus.
And the thing that's great about it is that she can really sing, too. So that's a twofer. That's a twofer. That is a great video. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate
Mike, that's
that.
That's all I have for you today.
We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow with a bonus show. So
yes.
If you have not subscribed to the bonus content or if you have any issues at all, we've got our executive producer, Josh Schroka, who can help you with that. Please reach out to him at the Mike O'Mara Show Facebook page or at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And we would love to get you to subscribe to our bonus content. That is a huge way of supporting us all here at TMOS. And an extra show this week, we will be joining you on Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern for the TMOS cocktail party. Lots going on the show. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, and thank you to all you live streamers. Good to see you today.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
At what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.
You jack with me and you'll be gone before you know it.
What do I do?